He's called the anointing. Every Christian has the anointing. If you are saved, you have it. You possess it. You own it. It is there. The anointing is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit designed to do his work in your life. God has turned everything in history over to his Son. It is only by your bringing glory to the Son that the Spirit kicks on. Jesus Christ privately and publicly must be able to be exalted in your life. Give the anointing a chance. Put it first. Take the written word. Put it in the face of the Holy Spirit. Do it on the front end. And let's see what programming God brings up into your life. I want to talk to you today about the name of the Holy Spirit, the seal. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, we read these words. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Verse 13 calls the Holy Spirit the seal. Now, there are three concepts tied to the sealing presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. One is that guarantees security. Two, it establishes ownership. And three, it is reflective of authority. Security, ownership, and authority. When you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, he provides you, first of all, security. We're going to look at it more in a moment, but Ephesians 4:30 says, you were sealed till the day of redemption. In other words, the seal cannot be broken until redemption has occurred. So there is a permanency to the seal. In other words, you can't lose your salvation. Isn't it good to know that you don't have to keep yourself saved? Once you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have been birthed into the family of God. He has linked you to union with Christ and union with the family of God, and it is a seal that cannot be broken. When a person is born into a family, that biological connection can never be undone. Because it's a birth issue. When you are born again, that spiritual connection can never be undone. I love the way that Paul talks about this permanency in the book of Romans, chapter 8, when he asks the question in verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? And then he asked about tribulation, distress, persecution, and famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. He says, in all these things, verse 37, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. He concludes in verse 39, height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if it's been created, it can't separate you once you've come to Jesus Christ. You can live with the assurance and the security of the seal. You have been sealed into the family of God. And nobody, not even you, nor the devil, can break the seal because God is the one who sealed you. And if God tightens the cap, there's nobody who can unscrew that. You have been sealed. You've been vacuum packed, sealed. God has secured your salvation until your redemption. That ought to give you a reason to praise him, to glorify him. Sealing is also designed to keep out contamination. You seal it so that air, bacteria can't get in and spoil it. God has sealed your new nature so that it cannot be destroyed by the world, the flesh, or the devil. Ah, to know that your eternal destiny is forever sealed in Christ and that it cannot be broken. With this comes ownership. Ownership. For example, when Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 9 and 10, he bought a piece of property God told him to buy, and he put a seal on it. He established ownership of it. This is my property. Many documents that we deal with, we have seals on them. We establish the authenticity. We establish the fact that it belongs to us if we buy a house or a car. In other words, it establishes ownership. And isn't that what God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20? He tells us, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify the Lord with your body. He says, I own you now. Did you know that the sealing of the Holy Spirit establishes you have been owned by someone else? You are no longer self-owning. See, the problem today is we've got too many Christians who still think they own stuff. You own nothing. That's why the Bible calls you and me a steward. We get to use that which God provides, but you have been purchased and you have been sealed by the ownership of Almighty God. And so God has secured you and God now owns you. Now this is critical because if you insist on owning yourself, you're going to be in conflict with the owner, with the one who redeemed you, saved you, gave you eternal life. He secured you, and now he wants to own you. So the question is, have you given up ownership of yourself to the Lord so that the Spirit of God can do what he wants to do in your life? The Holy Spirit is there to represent God the Father and Jesus the Son to do his work in your life, but you can't own yourself. That's why he's placed a seal on you. But not only that, the seal established authority. When you get a certified letter, that means the only person who has been authorized to open the letter is the person to whom the letter has been sent because it's been certified. So the sender can open it if it's sent back to the sender, or the receiver can open it, but only the person whose name is on it, because it has been authorized. Authority has been given, but only been given to the person whose name is on the envelope. When Jesus Christ saved you and gave you the Holy Spirit, he has given you divine authorization to utilize the Spirit on your behalf. Other folk can't use the Holy Spirit because they have not been sealed with the Holy Spirit. But as a believer in Christ, you have the seal. This seal shows up many times in Scripture. When Jesus was crucified, Pilate authorized that the tomb would be sealed. In other words, this was a governmental seal. You better not tamper with this. In the book of Esther, chapter 8, verse 8, the king put down a seal so that nothing could change. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 17, the king put down a seal so that there could be no change. In other words, it was based on authority. According to Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, only God has authority to break the seal of the Holy Spirit. Only God can unseal this seal so that you are secure, you are owned, and you are authorized. You bear the authority of the one who has sealed you. No man can reverse it. Nobody can steal it because you've been divinely authorized by God. If you have, according to verse 13 of Ephesians 1, if you have listened to the message of the gospel, heard the good news about the forgiveness of sins that comes by faith in Christ, and if you believe, that is, trusted Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you've received the gift of eternal life, he says, then you are sealed. You don't have to go Holy Ghost hunting. You don't have to go Holy Ghost looking. You are sealed by receiving Christ because the Holy Spirit is Christ in you. Now, as we've already seen, you've got to be filled with the Spirit. You must walk in the Spirit, but you can do both because you are now sealed with the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is sealed in terms of your human spirit. Let's explain. You have spirit, soul, and body. Spirit gives you the ability to communicate with God. Soul gives you the ability to communicate with yourself. You know you exist because you have a soul. Your body gives you the ability to communicate with your environment through your five senses. When you accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit entered into your human spirit. So actually, what got saved that day is not so much your soul, but your spirit got saved. Your soul has to grow and be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. But guess where the Holy Spirit is? He is inside of you. So the work that God wants to do is coming from the inside out. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may you be sanctified from your spirit, soul, and body. So the way this works is that your spirit is supposed to inform your soul, and your soul is supposed to inform your body. So your body changes what it does because the soul is telling it to do different things. But the soul is telling it to do different things because the Holy Spirit, which has infiltrated your human spirit, is giving new data to your soul as you grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So you are owned, you are sealed. God in Christ is in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is to do the work of God inside of you to make you into the person that God wants you to be, to guide you in the way that God wants you to go, to help you with the support that you need from God. So when you call on God, that gets translated to the work of the Holy Spirit, who is locked up inside of you securely and eternally. But that's not all. Verse 14 says, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Some versions call it a deposit. A pledge or a deposit is a down payment. Is a down payment, meaning you're committed to the purchase, but there's more to come. He says the Holy Spirit sealed inside of you is your deposit. It is the first installment of a layaway plan tied to your redemption. In other words, when you accepted Christ and you received the Holy Spirit, that's a guarantee that he's going to finish this purchase. He's going to take you to glory. What God has done is given every believer an engagement ring, a pledge to say, we're going to get married. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to bring you to live with me. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's what Jesus told his disciples in John 14. In other words, God is going to bring you to his house. He's not going to get an engagement with you, a pledge, a deposit, and not marry you. That is, not bring you to ultimate conclusion and consummation of our great salvation. You have the Holy Spirit. He promises it to every believer who's trusted Christ. He says, with a view to the redemption. When we're in his presence, when we're with him. And the more you have this perspective, the more the ring, the deposit will mean to you. If you do not have an eternal perspective, you will not be able to maximize the weight. Let's go a little bit further. In chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Here's our word sealed again. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. He now brings up grieving the seal, okay? The Holy Spirit is sealed into the life of every believer. He's God's Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. He says, do not grieve him. To grieve somebody is to make them sad. Do not make him sad. So the question is, what grieves the Holy Spirit? He is grieved by bitterness. He goes on to say, where you intentionally carry around a bitter spirit, wrath, where you're seeking to hurt somebody else due to your anger, you slander people, you try to destroy them with your tongue, the absence of kindness, to be hard-hearted and cruel, mean-spirited, and to hold grudges. Now, this forgiveness doesn't mean you've reconciled. Reconciliation only comes when repentance is there. But you must forgive so that you can go on. Why? Because you do not want to have a grieved Holy Spirit locked up inside of you. So every believer has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is locked up inside of you. He is sealed. So when you grieve him, where is he going to express his grief? Inside of you. Because guess where he is? He's inside of you. How long is he inside of you? Till the day of redemption. So he's permanently inside of you, which means if you grieve the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, watch this now, you are going to be an unhappy Christian. Ah, you know why a lot of Christians are miserable? Because they got a mourning Holy Spirit operating within them. And if he's sad all the time, and I'm using human language of tears to express the grief, the sadness. So if he's sad and he's sealed in you, you're going to be sad. So you see, this Holy Spirit thing is not a small thing. Just the opposite is true, however. If you make him happy, you're going to be happy by your speech, by your attitude, by your kindness, by your forgiveness. Then he's smiling, your soul is smiling, so we can see a new grin on your face. That's really the joy of the Lord. It's when the Holy Spirit settles things down in your soul because he's comfortable with you. So, one other thing then. What is the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life? What does God want the Holy Spirit to do in your human spirit? This is deep. He wants the Holy Spirit to inform your human spirit so that your human spirit grows and is magnified in the wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. In other words, He wants you to experience more of God's reality in your life. Our spiritual eyes are darkened. We don't see things spiritually. So all we do is react to the physical. That's why you need the revelation and the wisdom and the manifestation of the experiential knowledge of God. You need the revelation, you need the information, but you want the wisdom, because wisdom is the ability to apply revelation, to perceive things and apply God's truth to the thing you perceive from God's perspective. Because if what you see is all that you see, then you do not see all there is to be seen. If all you see is the physical and you can never look behind the physical to ascertain what God is doing, to perceive how you should negotiate a situation because you're hearing from inner guidance by the Holy Spirit and not just outward information by mankind, then you're missing out. And you know what you're missing out? On the knowledge of God. That is, seeing God experientially working based on His word in your life through the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit who has sealed you. When you get the knowledge of God, when God starts showing up and you start seeing things spiritually first, you don't ignore the physical, but you don't limit yourself to the physical, because you know behind what you see is what you do not see. That's equally as real. That's more real, because it's the basis of whatever you see, whether good or bad, whether Satan spiritually brought it or God spiritually brought it. But you need to be able to have to know God well enough to be able to differentiate between the two. Look, he says, but if you understand that you have God inside of you, sealed, and that the Holy Spirit wants to do His work in your life, to unfold and take the blinders off your eyes so you're seeing spiritual things, so you know how to deal with the physical things that you face. Until we decide to no longer live by human wisdom, that is man's approach, but to utilize the indwelling seal, because He's already there, locked up, tied up, bound up inside of you and me and us who are believers in Christ. Until we decide to utilize that, we'll be just like everybody else, floundering around, you know, doing the best we can without any supernatural, heavenly sent insight. You have the Spirit of God. You're no longer to be dependent upon your own human ingenuity. Too many Christians are pit bulls in their heads. We got big heads. That is, we think we know more than we know. Our heads are too big because it's full of human wisdom. What people think, what scholars think. We want to know what everybody else thinks, and we don't even want to know, or we find out way late, what God says and what God thinks. And even when God brings things in our lives to pull us back the other way, our heads are so big with human wisdom and not the knowledge of the one who can unwrap us from all the things that's got us tied up, and we live lives of misery even though we belong to the owner. You belong to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is sealed within you. God wants to unfold knowledge of Himself to you, but only as you walk in dependency on the Spirit that you already have. And if you don't have the Spirit, the Bible says you're none of His. You want to experience a down payment? You want an engagement ring? A down payment on eternal life. He'll give you the down payment now because He'll give you the Spirit now. How do you get it? Doesn't cost you a thing. You don't have to buy it. He's giving the Spirit away. If you come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, if you come to Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, if you go to the cross right now and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I trust You now to come into my life, forgive me of my personal sin, and give me the eternal life You promised. If you believe in Him for that right now, He will save you. deposit the Holy Spirit within you so that you will get a little bit of heaven now as a down payment of a lot of heaven later. Will you come to Christ right now? As I stand in this canyon in Colorado with the strength of these walled bricks and stones and mountains around me, I'm reminded of the security that comes when you're sealed in. Even with cars going back and forth, there is a sense of security with the strength that is embodied around me. Well, believers are sealed. They're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and nothing can break that seal until God breaks it at the day of redemption. There's no car, there's no truck that can penetrate what's surrounding me right now. There's no force of hell that can penetrate the security that God gives you in the salvation you've received when you accept Jesus Christ. So in spite of the traffic of life, the movement of life that surrounds you, know that you're surrounded by somebody that cannot be overrun, overtaken by anything that's passing by you or trying to distract you, because the seal of the Holy Spirit, God's security in time until we transfer to eternity, will stand with you, and nothing and nobody, no how, nowhere can ever change that. And that security should motivate you to serve the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, worship the Lord, because anybody who can build this kind of wall around you keeps you in a safe place all the time.